Chapter 18. Nia and Jade arrived at the hen party to find a small group of women sitting at a table. Nia was surprised to see Lucy had joined the group and was sitting next to Elvira. There were only two other women who looked like fair-haired versions of Elvira in expensive, preppy clothes. This really was a very small affair, and Nia immediately felt overdressed. Spotting her, Elvira called her over and poured her a drink. Elvira broke the ice by announcing, "Thank you so much for all coming to my hen party." One of the friends, called Petunia, raised her glass. "I have to say this is rather different from when we drank champagne in Florence for your engagement to Hugo." She glanced at Nia. "Hugo was Elvira's ex." And then over at Jade. "No offence, but the island is hardly the place for a proper night out." Jade raised her glass and smiled thinly. "Offence taken," and she gave a cold laugh. Elvira coughed.
"Anyway, with everything being done so quickly and weddings to pay for, you will have to make the most of this evening. It's all I had the time and budget to arrange."
Petunia grabbed her hand.
"Where's the ring? I demand to see it."
"I took it to a jeweller this morning. He's very good, has done work for the royals, you know. He's going to make it smaller for me,"
Elvira said, blushing. Nia frowned. The place she'd seen Elvira going in that morning certainly didn't fit that description. Maybe Elvira had been to more than one place. Petunia's voice threatened to drown the others as she gave a detailed account of the last hen night she'd been to in Barcelona. Nia was sitting next to the other friend, a quieter woman called Millie.
"So, Elvira has been engaged before."
Millie flicked back her fair hair.
"Rather, all very intense."
"And who was that to?"
"Really nice chap called Hugo. We all love him. Such a laugh. We were all so jealous when she nabbed him. Tragic it didn't work out."
"What happened?" Millie moved closer, lowering her voice.
"Elvira suddenly broke it off. No explanation. They'd named the date and everything. Still, he bounced back in the way Hugo always does. Still on the market, actually. Anyway, Elvira moved over here, which shocked us all. I know her mother is here, but really, fancy burying herself over here. I usually come over once a year for Cow's Week, but that's my limit."
"I've not been here long, but I think it's lovely. The beaches are gorgeous. I went to Newtown Creek the other day, which was stunning, and we were the only ones there."
Nia began describing her visit, but soon realised Millie's eyes had glazed over. She paused, and a gap in conversation seemed to alert Millie that a response was called for.
"Oh, yeah, sounds great, super. I have to admit, Elvira seems to have found herself a decent man here. That's quite something."
"Ethan?"
"Exactly. Only seen pics of him so far, but he's good-looking, although a bit rough. A kind of Heathcliff look, I guess. Elvira will get his clothes sorted out."
Nia sipped her drink.
"This ex of Elvira's, Hugo, was he a vet?"
Millie laughed hard.
"God, no. You'd never find him putting his arm up a cow's ass. Hugo likes the finer things, though no one knows quite how he pays for them. Not like he has rich parents or anything. He's worked a few auction houses, dabbled in bitcoins. He's a survivor, is Hugo. Not always keeping this side of the law, but gets away with it."
She took out her phone.
"Here's a picture of us all together 2 years ago, sailing."
Nia scanned the photo, and then she saw him. Hugo. Tall, fair, with sunglasses, sky-blue shirt and white trousers. She gasped. She instantly knew where she'd seen him before. Hugo was the man Nia had seen arriving at the Red Jet terminal and on the morning of Ethan and Elvira's Sunday drinks at White's.
"Oh, goodness, I recognise him. So that's Elvira's ex," she exclaimed. "I've seen him over here a few times. Does he work here?"
Millie shook her head.
"Not that I know of, but he has friends who sail. Maybe he was meeting up with them. So tell me, what is this Ethan like? Elvira tells us next to nothing."
"He's quite a lot older than Elvira's ex, Hugo. He's very kind, clever. He seems a nice person, loves Elvira.
Sounds a bit lame. Still, if he's got money.
Nia was starting to get fed up with her companion.
You don't marry someone just for money. Ethan is a good man, caring and very good at his job. As an intelligent woman herself, I am sure Elvira appreciates that.
Millie raised an eyebrow.
I'll take your word for it. She's changed a fair bit if you're right, though.
Petunia raised her voice even more and called them all to attention.
I have to say a few words about my gorgeous friend Elvira Johnson. A month today, Elvira will be getting married. I can't wait, and I want to wish Elvira all the best. We go way back.
Petunia embarked on a string of long, rambling stories of various drunken nights out in London, and Nia switched off. Finally, she sensed the speech coming to an end.
And so we all want to say good luck and make sure we're all invited to the baby shower.
As they were such a small group, the applause was muted. But Elvira then invited them back to hers to celebrate more. Having not been inside the building, Nia was intrigued to see the flat. Everything was in darkness, and Elvira quickly turned off the alarm before the rest of them entered. Once they were inside, she pressed a few more buttons.
Sorry, this is so much more complicated than the other one.
Ethan said you'd tightened security.
Yes, I insisted when I came here. There are so many break-ins on the mainland.
There was one in your last place, wasn't there?
Said Petunia. Before she could answer, Jade dashed over to look at a stand with pet toys.
Oh, these are new. I may come in and get some of these for the animals at the centre.
Jade enthused about the toys and started pressing the squeaky ones, the sound echoing around the empty reception area.
It's as well Ethan has decamped to the other surgery this evening, said Elvira to the others. They've a few patients in, and so he offered to be on call there. He doesn't mind doing the occasional Saturday night. It's only Sunday he insists on keeping free. That's his night at the rescue centre. He stays there till the early hours if necessary.
I bet he's avoiding meeting me. Doesn't want the interrogation, said Petunia.
Nia wouldn't have been surprised if she was right. Elvira still had her own flat, and it was clear Ethan and she hadn't yet merged their living quarters.
With us working different shifts and things, it seemed sensible to keep open the option of separate bedrooms, explained Elvira.
Her flat consisted of a small living area and bedroom. There was a shared kitchen. Elvira had prepared snacks and drinks, and after a few more drinks, Elvira handed over to Petunia, who had prepared suitable hen night games, including bridal bingo and Never Have I Ever. Nia had to admit Petunia did a good job of getting everyone to join in, and they all started to relax. Finally, Elvira suggested they go on a gambling site she'd heard of called Ladies' Night, and gave each of her guests a small pot of money to get them started.
Ethan's tips are to avoid alcohol, Elvira said, laughing as she filled up her glass, and never chase your losses.
Nia was nervous. Frightened, the others were going to start placing high stakes. One of the things that surprised Nia was the content. A lot of the games featured Barbie, pink fairies, and cute cartoon animals. Nia started to relax. It was just a bit of fun. She placed her bets, not caring really which way things went. However, she soon realised she was the one pushing for another game, placing more money than she intended. The person who surprised her was Lucy. She'd not had any more idea of the rules of these games than Nia, but she quickly picked them up and played skillfully. It was a side of Lucy Nia hadn't seen before. Behind that nervous, vulnerable exterior was a bright, determined woman. It was Elvira who decided when she was going to shut down. Nia would have liked to have carried on, play one more game to win her money back.
You have to know when to stop,
Elvira said to her firmly, and closed down the site.
It was as if a spell had been broken, and Nia was shocked at how easily she'd been hypnotized by the games.
Maybe she'd better not rush into that again.
How are you getting on with those party favors? Did you have enough silk? Asked Lucy.
Thanks, there's more than enough, although I've bought some other colors as well. They're all cut out now, spread on a table in my bedroom.
said Elvira. They followed her in and saw a production line of cut-out pieces of silk, ribbon and net.
"What will you put in them?" asked Lucy.
"Richie has been helping me collect things off the beach, shells and fossils. I'll put some in each bag. It's greener than a load of plastic."
"That's really tasteful," said Petunia, surprise in her voice. "You've changed since you came here."
Nia stepped back to let Jade have a look at the bags and pushed against a wardrobe door. She felt the door open and turned to close it again. To her surprise, she saw the edge of a long white dress. But what really shocked her was the label.
"Shut the door," shouted Elvira. "Sorry, it's just you mustn't see my dress."
She shut the door firmly.
"I thought that was still being made," said Jade.
"The seamstress finished earlier than expected," said Elvira. "Now, let's get out of here. Too many secrets in my bedroom," she added, laughing.
Everyone, apart from Lucy, who Nia noted stuck to soft drinks, continued drinking. Elvira lit white candles, and they sat in the flickering light, talking.
"How is your mum doing, Elvira? She's still at that nursing home?" "Yes, she likes the Pines. They're kind, and the food is good, which matters to her."
"I must go and have a look at it sometime. Dad is going to need somewhere soon, and he loved the island. Is it out over Brookway?"
"That's right, not far from the pub we went to last time you came over."
Petunia turned to Jade.
"I'm so sorry to hear about your sister Ruby. I met her a few times, such a sweet person. Can you believe she died on my birthday?"
Nia was horrified by her tactlessness, but Petunia carried on regardless.
"We were all staying over in the New Forest. Gorgeous little place. Brilliant chef. Anyway, Hugo had been over here that day, but thank God he made it back in time for drinks at 6. I'd have been furious if he'd bailed on us. I'm glad we didn't hear about it until the next day. Hugo knew Ruby better than the rest of us. It would have ruined the evening."
Petunia then caught the look in Jade's eyes, and even she seemed to realise she'd crossed a line.
"That, of course, was not important in the scheme of things. We were all mortified when Elvira rang the next day. I am so sorry she took an overdose. How terrible to feel that desperate."
Jade glared. "My sister didn't take her own life."
"Petunia didn't mean that," interrupted Elvira.
"Yes, she did. To her, it's a bit of gossip to pass around, something that nearly messed up her birthday," said Jade,
her face red, her eyes bright with anger.
"In any case, I'm not convinced Ruby was alone on the beach. Nia might not have been the last person to see Ruby alive. In fact, we both think someone went down to the beach after Nia left her."
Nia gasped. Why had Jade said that? She could feel all eyes on her, all waiting for an explanation.
"I'm just worried about a few things." "So you think some random stranger went down on the beach after you?"
asked Petunia, making no effort to disguise the excitement in her voice.
"I could be wrong," replied Nia.
Elvira flipped her hand dismissively.
"Of course you are. The police know what they're doing. And anyway, Ruby left a note, didn't she? She said she couldn't go on. As terrible as that is, the sad fact is Ruby took her own life. The police know it, and you need to accept it as well, Jade."
Nia saw Jade bristle at this and throw back another drink before, glaring at Elvira, she said,
"But how can we be sure Ruby wrote that letter? Everyone in the close knew you could walk into the gallery in Ruby's office unseen. Anyone in the close could have written that."
"In theory, I guess you could be right," said Elvira coldly. "I do hope you are including yourself in that."
Nia glanced over at Jade. She was sitting with her eyes wide with panic, her mouth open, but she seemed too stunned to speak. Lucy sat up.
"That's enough. Jade, why are you suddenly throwing accusations around about people in the close? Firstly, it's ridiculous to suggest someone else wrote that letter. And secondly, you know how much we all loved Ruby. It's a terrible thing to insinuate."
"This is all a bit heavy," said Millie,
who Nia guessed was more conciliatory than her friend.
How about a drinking game? How about some shots?
Nia decided that this was her cue to get away, and as she stood up, she saw Lucy and Jade taking her lead.
We'll see you at the wedding, I'm sure. Don't know if I'll get over for old gaffers, shouted Petunia.
Elvira accompanied them to the front door of the surgery to let them out. They thanked her for the evening, but it was clear everyone was glad to get away.
Bloody hell, that was some evening. Sorry to land you in it, Nia, said Jade.
You need to be more careful about what you say, said Lucy.
Jade shrugged. I realise that, Lucy, and look, I'm sorry if I offended you. They had reached their homes.
Either of you fancy a quick swim in the morning? Asked Jade.
Nia laughed, and then saw Jade's face.
You're serious?
I am.
7 in the morning. I'll give you a lift.
Much too early for me. Good night, you two, said Lucy.
She'd taken her keys out of her bag, but tripped up the step to the door. Jade grabbed her arm.
Careful, don't want Ian to think you're plastered. He won't let you out on your own again.
Lucy looked at her, offended. Some of us have stuck to soft drinks all evening, she replied, opening the door and slamming it behind her.
Oh dear, said Nia, I think she's upset.
Lucy is pretty thick-skinned. It'll be forgotten by tomorrow.
I hope so. By the way, what was this old gaffers that Petunia mentioned?
I can tell you're not a sailor, Jade said, smiling. There are posters popping up all over town for it. The bunting will be up soon.
But what is it?
It's a regatta, and for the people here it marks the start of summer. It's on the first weekend of June and is great fun. There wasn't one last year, so it makes this one even more exciting. They have races for a traditional type of sailing boat, and there's lots happening in the town. Street markets, food, juggling, marching bands, all kinds of things.
It sounds quite something.
You'll enjoy it. So, what about the swim?
I'll think about it, said Nia.
I'll look for you when I come out. If your curtains are closed, I'll know you've chickened out.
By the way, I saw Elvira's wedding dress in the wardrobe. The thing was, it had a label on it. It was from Oxfam.
You're kidding. She said she was going to some posh dressmaker. I've nothing against Oxfam. Always thought it was a good idea to get your dress second hand, but why pretend it's designer?
I know, I don't get it. Also, you know Elvira said she'd taken her ring into a jeweller's. I saw her go into a pawn shop this morning.
My God, what's going on? I bet Ethan doesn't know.
Nia was starting to feel guilty.
Look, don't say anything to anyone. I probably shouldn't have told you. Maybe they are having money problems or something.
I guess they are. Whatever it is, I wouldn't mind betting Ruby knew something about it.
You think so?
It's possible. I was wondering, you know, why she went to see Elvira's mother. That was odd. It's not like she knew her well. Elvira was very angry about it, wasn't she?
Jade looked around. Anyway, need to get to bed. Early start tomorrow. Don't forget. I expect you to be here at the crack of dawn, raring to go.
Forcing a smile, Nia went in the house, let Romeo out in the garden, and poured herself a long, cold glass of water. She'd actually been careful drinking, and had quietly done her usual when out of alternating her glasses of wine with water. Now she was home, she was relieved she shouldn't be too hungover in the morning. She let Romeo in, and within minutes he was snoring quietly on his bed.
Sensible dog, she said, and turned off the light.
However, she lay with her eyes open, unable to stop her mind racing. She'd successfully put Chris to the back of her mind for the evening, but didn't want to get drawn back into the darkness of thinking about that now. To prevent that, she decided to try and plan what she was going to do about looking into Ruby's death. The hand grenade approach that Jade used of throwing out accusations might get reaction, but it hadn't taught them much. No, she needed a more methodical approach than that. A good place to start
might be to check out if people were where they actually said they were. The police would have asked everyone, but sensing no motive, they might not have dug too deep. Where to start? She went through what had become her list of suspects, going round the houses in the close in her head. Lucy, Ian, Joe, Ethan, Elvira, and Richie. She stopped at the gallery, but of course, there was one more person. And that was Jade. Nia pulled away from the idea. Why would Jade be pushing her to investigate Ruby's death if she had anything to do with it? The answer might be that Jade had sensed Nia's concerns and known she would keep asking questions and wanted to check up on what she was doing. Nia remembered that look of panic in Jade's eyes when Elvira had turned things on her. She also remembered that Jade and Ruby had been arguing at the party, and she'd never got to the bottom of that. Nia hated the idea of suspecting Jade and decided that the first thing she would do was go to the rescue centre and check if she had been there the night Ruby died. Thinking about it, would she really have been there so late? In fact, Nia realised she could also check up on Ethan. Yes, tomorrow, after drinks, she would arrange to go to the rescue centre.